Parak Gimel, Mishnah Tes. V'heichen hayu menanin. Where would they shake the lulav bundle? Meaning you have your lulav, your esrog, your adasim, and your aravos. And when you make a bracha on it, you shake it. But throughout Halal, when we sing Halal on the Chag of Sukkot, we also shake it. So which points during the Halal do we shake the lulav bundle? V'hodu l'Hashem t'chila v'sof. We shake it by hodu, the first hodu, the last hodu, in the four stanzas over there. And the truth is, the in between two stanzas as well, we shake it. So by the four stanzas of the hodu, we shake the lulav bundle. If you look at an art scroll sitter, they actually say exactly where you shake and how you shake. Uba ana Hashem Hoshiana. And in ana Hashem Hoshiana and Halal, we shake the lulav bundle as well. Divrei Beis Hillel, these are the words of Beis Hillel that hold that we shake by ana Hashem Hoshiana, but not by ana Hashem Aslichana. Beis Shammai say, af by ana Hashem Aslichana, even by ana Hashem Aslichana, we do shake. So Beis Hillel will say ana Hashem Hoshiana and not ana Hashem Aslichana, whereas Beis Shammai will say that no, ana Hashem Hoshiana and ana Hashem Aslichana, we shake the little bundle. Amr Rabbi Akiva, says Rabbi Akiva, Sofa Hayiti, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua. He says, I was in shul, and I was looking at Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Shekala Amnan and Silvay, and everybody was shaking their lulavs. V'hein lo ninenu ela ban Hashem Moshiana. And they didn't shake the lulav except by an Hashem Moshiana. Meaning, Ava ban Hashem Aslichana, by an Hashem Aslichana, they didn't shake their lulav. So, Klo Moshe, you know, I mean, the whole shul apparently was accustomed like Beis Shammai. They would shake the lulav by ana Hashem Hoshiana and ana Hashem Aslichana. And Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, they were the two individuals that only did ana Hashem Hoshiana and not ana Hashem Aslichana. And Rabbi Akiva is saying over here the story to illustrate that we actually paskin la halacha like Beis Hillel and not like Beis Shammai. Granted, the whole shul over here was shaking it except for two individuals by ana Hashem Aslichana. Still, the halacha is that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, like these two great sages that were Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, that were shaking only by Hoshiana and not by Hatzlichana. The Gemara explains that when you shake, how do you shake? So you shake to the four directions, front, right, back, and left, and then you also shake up and down. And there are two different explanations brought over here. Either the four directions are coming to allude to the four winds that God owns and runs the world with, right? And then up and down is referring to the heavens and the earth that God takes power over. And the other commentaries explain that the four winds, four sides, are to la'atzar ruchos ra'os, to prevent the evil winds from coming upon us. And up and down is to prevent la'atzar talam ra'im, to prevent the evil dews, like dew of the heaven. This is more of a mystical explanation, these evil winds, these spirits, or these evil dews. So, you know, it means that on a mystical level, it prevents these evil things from coming upon us. Okay, that'd be the second explanation. Mishma b'derech, a person who is going on the road. Oh, and they explain here also, one more point, that when you shake it, you're supposed to shake it three times in each direction. So, three times forward, three times right, three times back, three times left, three times up, and then three times down. And how you actually do the three times, there's a number of different customs how to do it, but the basic way is just to do three times forward, and then three times to the right, etc. Mish babaderach, a person who's traveling. He's got no lulav. Litol, to take with himself, right? So when he comes home, he should take a lulav bundle and shake it before he eats his meal. And if he started eating and then he realized the middle of his meal, he should stop his meal, and take the lulav then. He's going to take the lulav in the morning. Let him take the lulav at night. No, I'm sorry, not at night. Ben Arbayim is in the evening before Shkia, before sunset. Shekalayam kosher lulav, because the whole entire day is kosher for the taking of the lulav, meaning the day until Shkia, until sunset. Up until sunset, you could shake the lulav and get your mitzvah. But after sunset at night, we do not shake the lulav anymore. Mishnah Yud. Mi shoya eved o isha o katan makrin oso. If a person didn't know how to read Hebrew, and his servant or his wife or his child who's a minor reads the Halal for him. So we're talking about Halal over here. He doesn't know how to read Hebrew, so he doesn't know how to read Halal. And his servant, his wife, or his child who's a minor says, you know, we'll read it for you, and, you know, we'll fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of you. So it doesn't work like that. He has to respond word for word what they're saying, so that he's actually saying the halal and getting the mitzvah. Why? Because they're not obligated in halal. A servant, a minor, and a woman is not obligated in halal. So one who's not obligated cannot fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of someone who is obligated, and therefore it doesn't work. So he has to repeat word for word after what they're saying in order to get his own mitzvah. And not only that, tuhilo me'era, v'tavu alav klala, curse should come upon him, ashaloma likro, on the fact that he never taught himself how to read. V'tavu she'elu yumachas, so he has to depend upon these people to read for him. And the Gemara explains, be'emes amru, that really the halacha is, a son could make a bracha for a father, and a servant for a master, and a wife for a husband. But the Chum said that a curse come upon him because she'ishtu banam avarachin alav, that he has to rely on his servant, on his wife, and his kids that are making brachas for him. But of course, if the individual is reading the halal for him as a gadol, as an adult, here could even be a son, because once he's an adult. So a male adult, whether it's his son or whether it's his dad, it doesn't really matter. If a male adult is reading the halal for him, he doesn't have to respond word for word, because he could fulfill the mitzvah through him. Hallelujah. He just responds after each inyan, after each topic, he says hallelujah. Because that's what they used to have a custom. They would say, after half a pasuk, half a verse, or a whole pasuk, a whole verse, the chazan would say in halal, the shliach tzibur would fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of those that knew how to read, and on behalf of those that didn't know how to read. So they would respond, hallelujah, hallelujah, on each time that the shliach tzibur, the chazan, would pray halal on their behalf. So when it comes to an adult could fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of another adult who doesn't know how to read. Of course, ideally it's better to say it yourself, but if you can't, then you could rely on another adult to fulfill the mitzvah on your behalf, and at least and then they say over here that you would respond hallelujah after each topic or stanza or verse, and this is what they're saying from the Mishnah. You know, la halacha nowadays, it may be a little bit different, so you may want to check with your local halachic authority, you know, whether it be necessary to say hallelujah or whether you could just hear the whole thing from him without interrupting at all. So we'll leave that, you know, for your own research. But that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that you would respond hallelujah after each stanza, and then you fulfill the mitzvah halal.